Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Max Factor. I'm Dale Kafer. I mean, Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale K from Spook Show. I'm accompanied by...
someone who's confused. I don't wear enough makeup. Dave Binkler from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And we're along with the amazing, intelligent, and lovely...
this is CW, who does wear makeup, but only just because I'm so gorgeous, I have to tone it down. That's why I wear makeup.
Okay, that'll work. That's good. And we're also accompanied by...
it is I, God of the Ghoul, who wears makeup so I don't scare people.
It scares me.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes wearing makeup does scare people. Whatever. Sometimes.
Oh, a la Tammy Faye Baker look. Oh.
There you go. That's
yeah,
frightening.
Alrighty.
She looked like she was being frightened.
No kidding.
Oh, well. There's a blast from the past. Tammy Faye Baker.
There you go.
Bet she didn't live in no castle.
Not
she
for lack
not.
Of trying.
That's true.
Yeah, we got one more. One more episode about a tale about castles from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
That's right.
Super duper.
That's right.
To have your own castle.
Yeah, this one is starring the amazing Mercedes McCambridge, who did movies and radio and television, started off in radio in Chicago. That's how she got to actually work with Arch Obler early on.
I think she was possessed.
She may have been. I had a friend who was a night clerk at a hotel, was working his way through college. And she happened to come by one night and just sat down and talked to him because, you know, they're looking for something to do to keep her busy. And you got to talking. She talked about her days in radio a bit. I wish I would have been there. And really how of radio, television, and movies, her favorite was radio.
That's pretty
not
cool.
A surprise.
Yeah.
Not
well,
a surprise.
The reason I suggested she might be possessed is she was the voice of the demon in The Exorcist.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And she was that crazy laugh in that bit that we played many, many moons ago early in one of Arch Obler's, when he did it in Hi-Fi. She was the laugh of the thing that turned people inside out, the dark. To turn people inside out. She was the laugh of the crazy woman in that. She was in lot of daily episodes of I Love a Mystery with Doc and Reggie, playing different characters. She played different characters throughout. So she has a long radio career. And I remember seeing her on an episode of what's that, Chad Everett show, a medical center. She was in an episode of that. Yeah. So all over the place. A preferred radio.
And I love that voice.
Yeah.
That line.
Isn't it a wonderful day for an exorcism?
Oh, yes. Chilling. Well done.
Yeah.
Very well
I
done.
I had to go hide under the covers again. Last night wasn't bad enough. Got to hide under the covers again now. Thanks,
so everybody out there, if you're looking for some voice talent, contact Moose and Elk. They're my agents. They'll take anything.
Ooh, my. Dangerous agents, yeah.
Danger, danger. Stranger danger.
Is Gar still here? Because he kind of had an answer to your question, Dale, that you asked us before we went on the air. Maybe CW has an answer, too.
What makes a castle? What makes a castle a castle?
Anybody Gar had know? Some kind of answer. Where are you at, Gar?
I'm here. I said that it has to be a defendable abode, and most of the time, castles were so big. They were big because they could take in some of the peasantry to protect them, and then they closed the door, and then you had the battlements or whatever those things, the four corners, where they would drop oil or your archers would be up there, and it was a defendable abode. That's what I came up with.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And I say if the mortgage has seven digits in it, that's a castle.
Yeah, and they're expensive to upkeep, too. That's what the one thing that they owe.
Oh, yeah.
People that have that are always saying.
People that have that lose them, that's often the reason why, is the incredible upkeep. Yep. Order yours now.
That's a misnomer. I mean, they were built because, hey, man, it's a rock. What do you have to do? You know, it's a bunch of rocks piled together, a little bit of glue, you know.
It's rocks.
Only now are they sitting there, oh, we need to upkeep it. We need to install a whirlpool tub and all this other weird stuff. It's a castle. Stop it.
Yeah, okay.
I like the idea of a whirlpool tub.
In a castle. Uh-huh.
Yes.
With a cat.
With a cat.
With a cat. Cat in a whirlpool tub. I don't think that's going to mix at all, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Nah, not you.
Well, some people have said so. In the past.
Well, they would be wrong.
Wrong, Gore! I recall it so well.
Watch out, Dale will get out his I'm Against It song again, you know.
Whatever it is.
I'm Against It, yeah, that one, yeah.
It's a great tune.
It is a great tune. Don't know what it is, but I'm against it. I'm yeah.
That's right. Perpetual Arguer.
Mm-hmm.
That's our boy Groucho.
Yes, oh, okay. Yes. Oh, yeah, it sure is. Oh, I'd forgotten. And I was a Groucho fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still a Groucho fan. I just don't remember anything. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Talking to
I have a musical CD with that on it, and I forgot all about it. I'm going to break out my CD.
And you forgot all about it, huh?
I forgot what I had for breakfast, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
So our show tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater is called Castle Kerfel. I did a little searching while trying to put media together for my lame ad today, for today's show. and I found that there was a book. I don't know. It sounds like it's similar to what our story is about tonight. I also read a synopsis of our story tonight, and they seem to be somewhat related. And it's shaping up to be a good story too. A little ghostly, maybe a little creepy. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't think this is too much of a spoiler, but as a former dog owner, I was a little put off. But okay.
You're right. That's not much of a spoiler. Yeah.
Okay.
It will be once you start listening to what we're talking about. But yeah.
Yep.
No, it's still not a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
But nice try.
Yeah, well, I do what I can.
We appreciate the effort. There we go.
I know that guy. He owes me $10.
Of course he does.
Good luck collecting, though.
Yeah.
Every time I go, hey, man, $10, he gets on a vine and takes off.
Yep. There you go.
Starry night.
We have a fifth member now of Eerie House.
Member?
Yeah, the sound effect. I brought on a new person. Her name is Helen. She doesn't talk much. You won't be hearing her talk much, but I'm putting her in charge. I'm putting her in charge of the sound bites. Helen. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh, I see it's a way to get away from the
morning.
I like it.
Name Keller?
Ms. Waite will be taking care of all the sound bites. So if If you haven't heard your favorite soundbite, go to Helen Wait. She'll take care of you.
Hello. Hello. I was going to say, hey, wait a second.
I used to pull that as a disc jockey. That's my music programmer, Helen. Helen Wait. If you haven't heard your song, your request, go to Helen Wait.
Hello.
I was going to say, it's easier when your crowd is half drunk. It's much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a better crowd then, you know. Except that they're in the bathroom half the time.
Yeah.
Why, is that where Helen is?
Yeah. It's where she's waiting, I guess. I don't know.
Mm. In the bathroom?
Got a lot of radio. Got a lot of radio.
Whole lot of radio.
I do not know what the air date is. Sometime in 1978, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I got nothing.
You are wrong.
Hey! Wait, didn't we just go through that? I'm wrong again.
Again.
I happen to know that its first run was January 30th of 1976.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Woo-hoo!
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I suppose that no self-respecting 17th century European castle would be without a ghost. The story I bring you deals with not one, but several ghosts. And what makes this tale all the more fascinating to me is the rumor that these particular ghosts weren't ghosts of people at all. And although they made no sound and were seen but rarely, they represented the absolute in terror and a strange vendetta.
My little dog! What have you done to my dog, my lord?
I believe I told you, madam, that the dog is the emblem of fidelity. There will be no more dogs at Castle Cahor.
But I have never betrayed you. You cannot punish a dumb animal for a crime you think I have committed.
I will hear no more of this.
Oh, but you will, my lord. Someday you will. And then, too late, my lord. You will wish this terrible deed undone.
Mystery drama, Castle Kerfol, was especially adapted from the Edith Wharton classic for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Allstate Insurance Companies and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To hide you there to reach, to know you're all that you can be.
Based on EPA tests, Buick's midsize Century with available automatic transmission and the Buick V6 got 17 miles per gallon in the city test and 25 in the highway test. Of course, those figures are only estimates. The mileage you get may vary. But what it means is this. Buick's V6 Centuries with automatic transmission got better overall EPA mileage ratings than any other U.S. midsize with automatic transmission. Nice going, Buick. In California, see your Buick dealer for EPA figures.
Our way is something special, a style of feeling too. You see it in the way we live, in everything we do.
Come our way for more value during your Illinois and Northern Indiana Ford dealers' limited edition sale. You'll find great deals all over the showroom. Drive home a limited edition Ford Torino. You get a half vinyl roof, opera windows, dual racing mirrors, and a sporty interior. All this for $159 less than the total retail value of items added to base Torino, based on traditional suggested retail pricing. Your Ford dealer's showroom is the best place to talk price. For extra value, see your Illinois and Northern Indiana Ford dealer now during our limited edition sale.
So come on, friend, you know it's true. You're gonna love our way.
I doubt if very many of us have ever gone or ever will go shopping for a castle. But if any of you do, there's one important thing to remember, one vital question to ask. Does the castle have a ghost? And if it does, what are its ghostly habits? This was a question which Paula Randall never bothered to ask, and this is what happened to her on her first look at the graceful turrets of Castle Kerfol.
A sudden, uncontrollable chill was my first reaction to the sight of the proud roofs and gables of Castle Kerfol. My second reaction was one of confusion mixed with a touch of anger. What in the world was I doing standing outside the iron gate leading to the obviously empty courtyard of a medieval castle? Did I really want to buy this? Or had I been talked into something? I could hear the pleasant voice of my host, Henri Lanrivain, saying,
"You really should buy Castle Kerfol, Paula. You would make a perfect hostess for that ancient manor. And it wouldn't be at all a bad thing for your business if you owned the most romantic house in Brittany."
"Oh, I don't think a great many people will come all the way to Brittany just to see a fashion show."
"Nonsense. People would travel half around the world to catch a glimpse of the breathtaking new Paula Randall fashions."
"That's spoken like a gallant Frenchman." "But with more gallantry than truth, I'm afraid. However, I will make an admission to you, Henri. I am beginning to want roots. To settle down somewhere."
"You really must see Castle Kerfol today. And today is perfect. I'm driving on to Quimper. You stay here and look around. I'll pick you up on my way back. The caretaker or his wife will show you around."
And so he left. And I suppose I was annoyed because I couldn't see anyone around. And no one came to answer the bell. I tugged at it again. Still no sign of anyone. I pushed open the iron gate and stepped into the stone courtyard, and I stopped. I was facing the main building, and now I could see that this was a mere shell, a ruined front, through which the trees of the park beyond were clearly visible. But the rest of the house was still in its original splendid beauty. And as I started for the main door, suddenly, a dog barred my way. He was such a very beautiful little dog that for a moment he made me forget the splendid place he was defending. He was golden brown, silken-haired Pekingese, and there was anger in his large brown eyes. But to my surprise, he didn't snap or bark. He gradually stepped back as I stepped forward. And then I noticed another dog, a rough, brindled mongrel who limped on a lame leg. I remember thinking, why, there will be trouble now, as the first two animals were joined by a third, a white dog with long hair, who'd slipped out of a doorway. He was silently watching me. And so we stood, the dogs and I, watching each other. And then I decided to make friends. I stooped to pat the little Pekingese. He didn't bark or growl or take his eyes from me. He simply moved back slowly on noiseless paws and continued to stare at me, as did the other dogs. I felt very uneasy, and I called to them, "Do you know what you dogs look like, all of you? You look as though you'd seen a ghost. That's just how you look."
"Paula, I hope you haven't been waiting here long. I thought you'd be up at the castle or with the caretaker."
"There are no caretakers."
"What? I don't understand. The family are anxious to sell the place. The caretaker or his wife should be around. What can have happened?"
"I don't know, but I saw no one."
"Well, I must apologize. I never would have had you go if
No apology necessary. Even if I could have gotten in, I suspect the dogs would have stopped me.
What did you say about dogs?
Oh, yes. There were several dogs. They seemed to have the place to themselves.
You mean you actually saw them?
Oh, you can't miss them. I saw nothing else.
How many? I've always wondered.
Ali, don't tell me you've never been to Castle Kefal.
Often, but never on this day.
What day?
Well, I'd quite forgotten. If I'd remembered, Paula, believe me, I never would have brought you today. There is a story that goes with Castle Kefal, an unpleasant tale. As a matter of fact, an ancestor of mine named André Langlivain was mixed up in it. You know, every Breton house has its ghost story.
What on earth has that to do with the dogs?
Those dogs are the ghosts of Kefal.
Oh, come on, Henri.
Oh, yes.
Do you expect me to believe that?
I don't expect you to believe anything. But you told me you saw a lot of dogs. And I know there isn't a single dog at Castle Kefal.
At dinner that night, there was no more talk of Castle Kefal. But after the guests had left and Henri's mother had said good night, he brought me a shabby, leather-bound volume from an upper shelf in his library.
Yeah, I think you should read this.
What is it?
You'll see.
Uh-huh. A History of the Assizes of the Duchy of Brittany, Quimper, 1702?
This book was written about 100 years after the affair at Castle Kefal. But I believe the account is taken almost literally from the judicial record.
There was a trial?
Yes, and a rather strange one. And my old ancestor, André de Langlivain, figures in it.
And the dogs, Henri, where do they come in?
Read it. And if you should be too frightened to continue, just yell, and I shall come galloping to the rescue.
I read until well past midnight, completely absorbed, caught up in this strange transcript of what took place in a courtroom over 400 years ago. But on this night, every word rang as clearly as if I were sitting there listening to the judge questioning the young and beautiful Anne de Cournot, the lovely young bride of the 62-year-old Baron Yves de Cournot, the master of Kefal Castle.
The prisoner must understand that if this court is to arrive at the truth, the prisoner must give us, in as much detail as she can remember, the entire history of her marriage to the Baron.
I understand, Your Lordship. What is it you wish to know?
The court has heard testimony from various witnesses about the first 2 years of your marriage to Yves de Cournot. But what puzzles me is how you and the Baron met.
My father took me to the holy shrine at Locronan. We were seeking absolution, doing penance for our sins. And that was where the Baron first saw me. And? He was smitten with me.
Well, how do you know that?
Because, Your Lordship, it was less than a week later that he came to my father's house with pack mules laden with gifts for my father and for me. And he asked for my hand.
Now proceed, madame.
Castle Kefal was a very lonely place. And when my husband was away on his business matters, I was alone. It was my very deep sorrow that our marriage was childless, though there was never a word of reproach from my husband.
In short, madame, you would have the court believe that yours was an idyllic union with never a quarrel between you?
No. No, Your Lordship, we quarreled, but only over matters of small import.
Perhaps Madame can recreate for us one of the quarrels of small import?
Yes, Your Lordship. It was after one of my husband's business trips. He came to me in the garden immediately upon his return.
Well, it is suitable and pleasing to me to find my wife in her garden picking flowers.
I am happy to please, my lord.
Oh, come, Anne. My name is Eve. And it is Eve who has brought a pretty bauble for your neck. Here, open it.
Oh, it is beautiful. It's magnificent. And I thank you.
Ah, you are a beautiful creature, my Anne. I missed you.
Then why do you not take me with you? I should not be so lonely then.
The city is no fit place for young wives. Why do you find it so irksome here at Castle Kerfol while I'm away?
Oh, it isn't irksome, but I feel I am a prisoner here. I cannot even pick a flower in my garden without having a waiting woman at my heels. Wherever I go here, I am watched.
You are protected and honored.
From whom do I need to be protected? And I am not a queen that I need such honors.
Ah, a man who has a treasure like you at home, Anne, does not leave the key in the lock when he goes abroad.
And this, your lordship, was the only point of contention between us. Until... I'm sorry. My apologies to the court and to your lordship. But these memories are sometimes very painful for me. When my husband returned from his following journey, he brought me a gift, the one I loved the best. It was a small brown silken Chinese dog that he'd purchased from a sailor at Bordeaux. Perhaps it was true that I loved that little dog in place of the child I never had. But Yves seemed pleased that I was so fond of Chinois. I named him that. And the little dog and I were inseparable. And one day, when I'd fallen asleep in my room with Chinois at my feet, I noticed that...
What's this? What have you done with my magnificent necklace? Do I see it around the neck of a dog?
Oh, Eve, I'm sorry if you're angry that I used the necklace in such a foolish fashion.
Oh, well, not at all, my dear. I know how much you love Chinois. And it is a compliment to me that you place one of my presents around the other's neck.
Oh, thank you, Eve.
That was not the reason I woke you. I had to tell you that I was struck by your resemblance to my great-grandmother, Julianne de Corneau, lying in the chapel with her feet on a little dog.
Oh.
You do not like the thought?
Well, it is somewhat uncomfortable. Still, perhaps when I am dead, you might place me beside her, also carved in marble, with my dog at my feet.
You shall have your monument, if you earn it.
And I swear I shall be faithful, with my little Chinois at my feet.
And you were not faithful. You were discovered, and you took your revenge by killing the Baron.
No. No, your lordship. I have said that I am not an adulteress. I swear that I am not. André was my friend, my dear friend. He was a man who was not as cruel as my husband, but he was no more than a friend.
Do you deny that you met him secretly the night your husband was killed?
I have never denied that.
Then why did you go meet him secretly at midnight if it were not to commit adultery?
I went to ask him to take me away. Because I was certain that my husband was going to kill me.
What a difference in lifestyles 3 or 4 centuries make. Today, if a woman commits adultery, she's just as likely to write a book detailing her experiences. In the 17th century, a husband would have been allowed to kill an unfaithful wife. I'll be back with Act Two in just a moment.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Bud, you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. The Budweiser ingredients listed proudly right there on the Budweiser label. There are less expensive ingredients, but you won't find them in Budweiser. No way. There's a lot more that goes into the brewing of Budweiser than just ingredients. But it's what comes out that counts most, and that's the Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no other one.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You know, beer does make you smart. Beer makes you smart. It made Genesee and Budweiser. It's true.
Okay. Stop using the bar jokes here. They're not working.
It's okay.
Interesting story in the timelines. They even sound the same, yeah. Huh?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Surprised, you know, back in those days, it wasn't beer. It was mead. The mead. Forsooth, in the flagon with the dragon that has the brew that is true.
Oh, gosh, what is that from?
Inspector General? No, not the Inspector General. It is Danny Kaye.
Maybe it is Inspector General, or is it the...
Yeah, I think it may be, yeah.
Is it the Inspector? It is the Inspector General.
Yeah.
No, it's the Court Jester.
One of those two.
Court Jester, is that the one where you had that dueling with Basil Rathbone?
Yeah,
some people said that was one of the some people say that was one of the greatest swords battles in film history.
Really? That's awesome.
Because Basil really was quite the swordsman. And Danny Kaye could learn whatever he wanted to learn. So
pretty much, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Had that wonderful, I don't know, he was just sort of an every sort of thing. He could act, he could sing, great dancer. He could really dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Very talented. I loved him in...
What surprised me, he only did a handful of films, too. They're all gems, especially
Christian Anderson.
I'm thinking about the one where he was in with Karloff.
Walter Mitty.
I don't know why I can't. Walter, Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Walter Mitty. Yes. Oh, gosh, yeah.
That's the one.
And
with
what was it? It was more of a drama. He was Red Nichols, the biography movie about a band leader named Red Nichols.
Yeah. Yep. Was it Red Nichols and his Five Pennies or something like that?
That was the name of the group. Red Nichols and his Five Pennies.
The guy owes me $10.
Makes sense.
I don't think you'll get it from him.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, you got to stop lending your money to dead people, Gar. Okay?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
help you. It's a thing. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Oh, and in the chat room, I believe Boggs did mention the name of the entity that Miss McCambridge did.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was, I think it was Christopher Lee or another actor that was in roles where there was swordplay, and he said whenever there's swordplay on the screen, it doesn't matter how careful you are, how well trained you are, you will get cut every.
Unless you're Kerwin Matthews.
Guy owes me $10.
Kerwin Matthews.
When
you fight an animated skeleton that isn't there, you don't risk getting cut very much.
Not too much.
There you go.
Yeah,
Fogs Wayne wants to know, Gar, if you can spare just $1 a day to support a hungry ghost dog.
I could do that.
I would do it. Oh, poor hungry dog.
Poor hungry ghost dog, yes.
For some phantom Alpo. Yes, folks, phantom Alpo for that hungry ghost dog.
Alpo is actually supposed to be very low quality. You really shouldn't feed a dog Alpo ever.
Really?
They say.
Yeah. Lauren Green lied to me?
Yes, he did.
Really?
He's a lion sack of crap.
They might have changed the recipe since Lauren Green was their sponsor. Maybe. Might be a whole different product today.
That's true. Maybe. It's been many, 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 many years. Many.
Yes.
No, I don't
maybe
know.
Six more
yeah.
many
years. I would think so. People do more feeding their pets better than they feed their children. Here, kid, mm-hmm. just eat that. The dog's getting filet mignon.
I like
That's
the
right.
dog more. I like the dog more. The dog
actually. I do know a guy that when he was across the street when he lived in Louisville, when he used to go over and set his dog set his daughter and son-in-law's while they would go off on a trip or something, mm-hmm. he would make them pork chops and he would have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Yeah.
Well,
the dog
maybe
ate
just like peanut butter
very well over there.
Yeah. There was some poet, and I'd have to look this up, who was, as most poets were and are, poor. But they had a cat that they were very partial to, and they fed the cat oysters, which were a delicacy then as they are now. They weren't cheap. So he pretty much starved, and the cat lived on oysters.
The cat had oysters. I would have had the cat. If the cat's eating oysters, I'm eating the cat. Come here, Joe. Here, Joey Joe.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, no. I don't think so. We're not having flambé of Joe today. But we are having more her.
More on radio.
Let's move on to part two of Castle Kerfuffle. No, it's Castle Kerfuffle. Snuffleupagus, that's right. Here on Erie House Radio.
Zach goes in the other room. Oh, and just stack those crates for the time being, I guess.
Mrs. Crawford?
Yes?
I'm Helen Warren, your welcome wagon hostess.
Oh, hi.
I know you're busy now. I just wanted to say hello. May I come back when the movers leave?
I hope you will. It's a new neighborhood and there's so many things.
Whether you're moving
know.
Into a new home, a townhouse, or an apartment, it pays to take a break from unpacking and get to know your welcome wagon hostess.
I didn't remember this many windows. Do you know of a place to buy drapery material?
There's an excellent shop nearby with a large...
Your welcome wagon hostess has information about your neighborhood and your city to save you time and money. She brings your family a basket of useful gifts, too. And she's as close as your telephone. Welcome Wagon, America's neighborhood tradition since 1928.
People who see ghosts differ from people who see UFOs. The latter can't wait to tell the world that they have seen these strange, glowing, elliptical-shaped objects floating around our planet, while those who have seen ghosts are somehow reluctant to mention the fact. Of course, the lady in today's tale was thoroughly convinced that what she had seen were simply a number of dogs, not ghosts at all. But this belief was under severe strain.
I had become so involved in reading the trial of Anne de Cornault, recorded so completely in the ancient and crumbling book, The History of the Assizes of the Duchy of Brittany, that I didn't even hear Henri's rapping at my door.
Anne! Anne, are you all right?
Oh, I'm sorry, Henri. I was lost in a courtroom 400 years ago with that poor frightened girl. Anne de Cornault.
Well, how do you like my ancestor, André?
Well, so far, he's only been mentioned briefly, but really, I am haunted with Anne, with the girl. I feel chilled as I read her testimony. I feel as though I were she, there in the court. Sometimes I even know what she's going to say before she says it. It's scary, André.
Well, then stop reading.
Oh, no. No, not a chance. Not after I saw those dogs today. You were joking, weren't you, when you said there weren't any dogs at Castle Kerfuffle?
No, Anne, I wasn't. There are no dogs. at Kerfall.
After Henri left me, I returned to the book and immediately found myself back in the 17th century courtroom, so involved that I actually seemed to be living the tortured life of that poor girl, now dead some 400 years.
You ask us to believe that your husband would have given you permission to journey to Sainte-Barbe?
Yes, your lordship. The pilgrimage was made in the company of a lady much respected by the baron, the lady his adjutant, and I were on a journey to Sainte-Barbe. It was a religious pilgrimage.
Does it not seem almost doubly sinful for a woman to meet a paramour on a religious pilgrimage?
André de Lanrivain was never my paramour. I'd seen him once or twice at Castle Kerfall when he visited there with his father, but he never exchanged more than civil greetings with me. And thus, what he said to me at Sainte-Barbe was a shock to me and a surprise.
And scandalous?
No, I did not think so. We met by chance under the aspen trees as the procession was coming out of the chapel.
I pity you,
he said. And I was surprised because I had no thought that anybody considered me an object of pity.
He said no more?
Only one thing.
Call me when you need me. As an ear to listen and a mouth to talk.
As I've said, my husband was away a great deal. My life at Castle Kerfall was indeed lonely. My little dog Chinois was always with me, and he gave me great pleasure. But more and more I thought of the meeting with André de Lanrivain and of his words. And one day I decided to test him to ascertain whether he meant what he said. Of all the maids my husband had serving me, there was one I trusted more than the others, and it was she I sent with a note, certain that there would be no answer. But I was wrong, and he was waiting in the copse near the edge of the forest, as his note said he would be.
Milady, you came after all.
It was I who sent for you, and you thought I would not be here.
I dared not hope.
André,
I feel you have no life at all with the Baron. Your gentleness and beauty is not for him. Where are you going?
No, I see now. It was not only foolish, but it was wrong of me to have come.
Please, milady, don't go. Just tell me what you want from me, and you shall have it.
There must never be a discussion of my husband. He shall not be mentioned.
Agreed. That is a beautiful little dog you have in your arms.
Yes, I love him very much. He was a gift from the Baron.
I see.
Which was very thoughtful. But much as I love my little Chinois, I admit to loneliness. I long to hear a human voice other than my maid's.
If my voice will help, you shall hear it as often as you wish.
And how often did you meet?
Twice more, your lordship, and each time very briefly.
And your husband knew nothing of these meetings?
I have reason to believe he did not. You see, at the time of our second meeting, I had already realized that we must put an end to it.
But there must be a reason. Surely I deserve at least that from you, Anne. Some reason why we should no longer meet.
Because I do not wish it.
If there's one thing I know, it's that you have enjoyed our conversations as much as I. Perhaps more. You've told me so.
No, never.
Well, perhaps not in so many words. But I can tell. By the flush on your cheek, the spark that kindles in your eyes when I tell you of Paris and other cities I've
seen.
No.
What you have just said is reason enough why we must no longer meet. I find myself looking forward to it too much. I know it will be like a drug to me. And the more meetings we have, the more I shall want. I must stop now while I can.
But we have done nothing wrong. Committed no sin in the eyes of the Lord.
Thank you, André, for the moments of light you have given me. I shall always be grateful. But we can meet no more.
But you did. And why? What changed your mind?
A message from him, your lordship, saying that he was going away for a long, long time. And he asked for
Only one farewell meeting.
If I knew you would come to bid me farewell whenever I leave the country, then I should try to leave every day.
Andre, where are you going? When do you leave?
I go to the British Isles on some business, which is not without peril. I shall be away for 6 or 7 months. Would you not give me some keepsake? Something of small value to you, but which I will cherish always, since it will speak to me of you during the long months of separation?
Well, gladly. I would give what you ask, but I brought no jewels. I wear no rings. I have no trinkets. And then, though I knew it was wrong, I took the small necklace from around the throat of little Chinois, and I offered it to André. At first he refused, but I urged. No, I insisted. And finally he took it. And afterwards I was sorry. And that very night, at dinner with my husband...
Well, your little dog has a giant appetite, my love.
You mustn't spoil him by overfeeding.
Better overfeeding than overpetting, the way you do. Well, here, here. Come here, Chinois. Here, here, here. Here's a piece of meat. There. Good dog. Well, da. What's this? Where is his necklace?
Oh, he... He lost it.
Lost it?
He was running in the park. In the undergrowth. And when I picked him up, I noticed that the necklace was gone. I spent a good time during the day searching for it, but I couldn't find it.
Well, perhaps it will be found one day. Have some more wine, madame. It's an excellent vintage.
No, thank you.
Then I shall drink alone. Are you, interested in hearing about my day in Rennes?
If my lord will excuse me, I have a slight headache. I should like to retire.
Well, of course, of course. I have my bottle for company, and you, when you get to your room, you will have your little dog.
Ah, Chinois, mon pauvre. My little Chinois.
Madame, there is something wrong, something troubling you.
Chinois, he is dead.
Oh, now, how did that happen?
I came into my room and I found him like this, lying across my pillows. Someone has strangled him.
A pity, madame. But there is a bright side to every tragedy, eh? You see? Here. Your necklace has been found.
Found? Would to heaven it had not been. Oh, take it away, my lord. I never want to see it again. After the use to which it's been put, wound round my little dog's throat, to snuff out his life.
Madam, I'm displeased that you smile so little.
I'm sorry, my lord. I shall try.
No, 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 nonsense. I have arranged for some entertainment at Castle Kerfol when I go next to Camphor on business. Entertainment, I think, that will please you.
That is very kind of you, my lord.
No, all so selfish of me. I would like to see some small measure of life appear in a wife who is at least 40 years younger than I am.
Yes, my lord.
And so for 2 days, while I am at Camphor, I have given the gypsies permission to come here. And in return, they promise to put on some entertainments for you. Let us hope, madame, they serve to put you in better spirits.
Oh, it's lovely. It's so lovely. And the dogs are wonderful. Tell me, does it take you long to train them?
Not too long, milady. The ones who are trained help me with the ones who have to learn.
Oh, look, this one is the dearest, I think. Am I mistaken? Or does he have one blue and one brown eye?
Milady has a sharp eye, and he seems to like you.
Yes, Would you... I mean, would it be much trouble for you to train another dog if...
Milady wants to buy the little dog, of course. For 3 golden coins, you may have the dog.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll have one of my maids get you the coins.
Have you taught your maids to lie to me, madame?
I cannot understand your question, my lord.
When I returned to Castle Kerfall this evening, they told me you enjoyed the gypsy entertainment I arranged for you. That you were gay and bright with laughter. And yet for me, there's only silence.
I am sorry, my lord. Do I have my lord's permission to go to my room?
Very well.
I shall return, my lord, immediately.
I hope in a more cheerful disposition than heretofore.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Oh.
What has alarmed you?
Oh, it's my little dog.
Oh, yes. I see he has been strangled. It would seem, madame, that you have bad luck with your pets.
Everyone knows that the ASPCA represents the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. There is, however, no ASPCM, which could stand for the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Mates. Perhaps if there were such a society, there might be fewer divorces, and even more important, fewer husband-wife murders. We'll be back with Act 3 in just a moment.
Allstate asks, do you own a small business? Go over these questions with your present group health and life insurance agent. If your agent doesn't say yes to every one, then...
talk to the good hands people.
First question, does your present basic medical expense insurance pay the very first dollar? That means you pay no deductible. For expenses such as surgery, room and board, x-ray and lab, and in-hospital doctor fees? If not...
talk to the good hands people.
Does your present plan provide coverage for maternity expenses? If not...
talk to the good hands people. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Your Allstate agent to find out what an Allstate plan costs, what is and isn't covered, including benefit reductions and terms under which insurance continues in force. Allstate Insurance Companies, available in most states to businesses that qualify.
Today, you can get your hands on the first edition of a very important piece of literature. Something new from your True Value hardware store. The very first edition of their Super 7 Circular. It's super because of its low prices. And 7 because almost every one of those prices ends in the number 7. For instance, you'll find your True Value hardware store offers a Rockwell pocket calculator with a separate percent key for just $9.97. You'll find it makes income tax time a lot less taxing. And there's a 20-inch metal toolbox with a removable tray for just $7.97. And an American flag with a 6-foot pole for $3.97. One of the few prices that doesn't end with 7 ends with the letter E. Free. Get 3 packets of garden seed free with the Super 7 coupon at your True Value hardware store. Chances are one of these special first editions will be delivered to your home. If not, just ask for one. The new Super 7 Circular from your participating True Value hardware store.
Yeah,
this is WBBM Chicago.
Yes, sir, a 7-foot pole named Janusz. Or Stash or something.
Hey, our young man in this story is William Redfield. He started acting at the age of 9 on stage, did all kinds of stage, as well as in the original 1938 Broadway production of Our Town. And he was the founding member of New York's Actors Studio, did a lot of television and movies. A couple movies you may have seen him in were, Fantastic Voyage. He was Captain Bill Owens. And Death Wish, he was Sam Kreutzer. And in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, he was Dale Harding. He was in an episode of Grand Central Station, numerous episodes of X-1, an episode of Suspense, and 80 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Now, while he was filming The One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, he doctor noticed something. He was dying. He noticed the symptoms of it, and he was diagnosed with leukemia. And on August 17, 1976, at the age of 49, was his cause of death. He died with a respiratory ailment complicated by leukemia. So, you know, a very young man and very prolific thing. A friend of his, when he was 17, told him, "You do not have the star's temperament. You're not a killer. A star must be a killer. You will be one of the best actors in the country, but you will never be a star, no matter how many times you are billed above the title." What a buddy. What a buddy.
Gee, what a pal. What a chum.
Now that's some serious encouragement. There you go.
I'm telling you. Delta be great, but you'll never be a star.
And I'm already upset. This story has me upset, Dave.
I know. The hanging of the dog didn't help any. But I want everybody to know, that no radio dogs were actually harmed in the making of this episode.
Better not be.
Do you feel better now?
Well, that's good to know.
Only a little.
Only a little. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And nobody wants to hurt animals near me. They don't want to do it. Don't do it.
No. Just do it.
There you go. A little bit on William Redfield, who I've heard in several, many of these. I'm even thinking back, there's at least one Lights of Precipice Mountain. I'm pretty sure that was William Redfield right there. And he did many other episodes of X-1 as well. 80 episodes, and he passed in 77. So, wow.
That's amazing.
What a prolific dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
But, he started at age 9, so by then, it was just, he was an old hand, a journeyman actor.
You know, you don't start at that age unless you have family in there, and it is his father. He was a conductor and arranger of music, and his mother was a chorus girl in the original Ziegfeld Follies shows on Broadway. So, you don't get a chance when you're 7 years old, generally, unless you're in a family that is of actors or musicians or something of that nature.
True.
There's that. Or you have a stage mom, like Shirley Temple did, poor thing.
Still, at least she came out with all her marbles. You know, a lot of child actors get messed up. But she
made it through. She made it through all right.
Yep.
Yep.
She done.
And one thing her mother
herself.
Said to her before she went onto the filming set, just before she was going to film, her mother said one word to her: sparkle.
That's the name of a food chain out here.
grocery
stores, the sparkle stores.
They all disappeared in Akron. Hopefully you still got one, yeah.
It's not called Sparkle anymore, but the local yokels still call it Sparkle.
Still call it the Sparkle. Going down to the Sparkle. Yep.
Going down to Sparkle and sit by the Crackle Barrel and whittle something.
Yep. There you go. We're probably going to have some bonus time left over too. I hope. As we wrap up the Castle Kerfuffle.
Gesundheit.
From the Edith Wharton story. Oh, real quick before we wrap this thing up, Edith Wharton, born like a long time ago, actually during the Civil War in January of 1862, was an American novelist, short story writer, and interior designer. Wharton drew upon her insider's knowledge of the upper-class New York aristocracy to portray realistically. See, this is like a Gilded Age story that we're listening to today. And she became the first woman to win the Pulitzer Prize in fiction. How about that?
Ooh.
Outstanding. All right. Who won the world? Girls. Who won the world? Girls. Yay.
Yeah. And she wrote the tale we're listening to tonight. She wrote a number of ghost stories, this being one of them. So all hail Edith as we wrap up Crucial. Crucial? Castle. Kerfel. Kerfuffle.
Queen Anne.
Kerfuffle.
It's a scientific fact that some people have a low threshold of pain, while others can withstand a remarkable amount of punishment before they even feel the slightest twinge. It would seem to me only logical that some people would be more sensitive to the influences and specters of the past and would find themselves powerfully affected by merely hearing or reading about past events. So I completely understand the reaction of our very modern, liberated 20th century Paula Randall to the events in the La Ravin Chateau in Brittany.
I have been reading for hours, and I suppose I made a fool of myself later that night with my behavior. But there were extenuating circumstances. Earlier, I had told Henri de La Ravin how much I had identified with the girl, with Anne de Cornol, whose trial I was reading about. And I had just reached the part where she found her second little dog strangled, and suddenly the lights in my room went out. I didn't panic, not then, but I had been reading in bed, and in the dark I reached for the bedside table to find a match to strike a light, and my hand felt something soft and furry. And it was then that I screamed and woke the house and brought Henri bursting through my door.
Paula, Paula, what is it? What has happened?
The dog. Henri, her dead little dog. It was next to my bed. I felt it.
Nonsense. There's nothing here. Look. It's one of your bedroom slippers with a fur on it. Look for yourself.
Oh, I can't see it in the dark. Why did those lights go out?
It's almost dawn. We switch back from the emergency generator now. And there are about 10 minutes during which we're without electricity. Of course, not many people are usually up at this hour.
I'm sorry, but I was so frightened. Henri, why did you give me this book, this history of the trials of the Duchy of Brittany? Why did you want me to read this?
No ulterior motives, my pet. I thought you'd be interested in buying Castle Kerfol. I wanted you as a neighbor. And then you saw the dogs. That clinched it.
Yes, but other people must see them. You told me the caretaker and his wife leave on that particular day, so...
Well, they live here. They have ties.
What are you saying?
Perhaps you shouldn't finish.
No, you go now. And apologize to the household for my behavior. And we will have coffee after I finish reading. Henri was disturbed, but he left. And I went back again to the history of the assizes of the Duchy of Brittany. And again the ancient words on the printed page worked their magic. And I was transported back in time to that drafty courtroom.
And did it not occur to you to confront your husband and ask him if he was indeed responsible for killing the dogs? And if so, what were his reasons?
I felt that would be useless.
Why useless?
You did not know the Baron, your lordship. I hoped that by my telling this story, you would come to know something of the mind of a man who could kill innocent animals simply because he imagined that his name had been dishonored.
We have only your word that it was his imagination.
And the word of André de La Ravin.
Who may have been your accomplice. Finish your testimony.
There's little more to tell. I suffered in my loneliness, and the winter wore on, and then the gypsies returned.
But Milady has not bought anything. Nothing at all.
No. I'm not in the mood for buying.
Not even for buying happiness?
No one can buy happiness.
To the gypsy, many things are possible, that are not known by you, madame. Take, for instance, this pear-shaped pendant. This is a most remarkable trinket, milady.
Yes, it looks very nice.
This pendant can tell the future and bring happiness.
Oh, nonsense.
Of course. But the trinket is pretty and an exceptional bargain. For you, milady, this will be only 2 livres.
No, I am not interested.
Look, it is so cunningly contrived. See, it opens. A cunning contrivance. And
wait.
Yours.
Wait a moment. Wasn't there a piece of paper in it?
It is yours, milady. You will not regret it.
No, that paper. I saw it. It had the Lanrivain seal.
I did not notice. No, milady, I should not open it here. The privacy of your chamber would be more suitable.
My dear lady, I have returned. I must see you. I will be at the side door of the castle. After midnight, the Baron has told me he is staying the night in Rennes. André. Yes?
I have returned, madam.
Oh, no.
And I would like your presence at supper.
Oh, good Lord. What am I to do now? It is a pleasant surprise to find you back tonight, my husband. I gather your business in Rennes went so well that you could return so soon?
It went as I expected.
Milord, tell me some of the interesting things that happened to you in Rennes.
Madame, I find your prattle boring, and this evening it is I who have the headache. I also feel feverish.
Is there something I can do? A poultice, perhaps?
Keep quiet. Good night, madame. I trust you sleep well. With nothing to disturb pleasant dreams.
And so, your lordship, I returned to my room, terrified. I was certain that in some way my husband had found out about André, and that he would be there waiting at the side door, and that he would kill André and me. I waited in my room, but then I opened my door and stole along the passage and listened at my husband's door. I could hear him breathing heavily and with difficulty, but I was still fearful. And I went back to my room and I waited until the moon had set through the trees of the park. And then I went back again and listened at the door to my husband's room. He still seemed to be asleep. I had only 2 thoughts: to get down the stairs silently, to get to the door, to unbolt it, and warn André, tell him that I wished him to take me away. I reached the door and unbolted it and opened it.
Anne, I must tell you...
André, you must go. He has come back. I think because he knew that you were coming. Please go. Go now.
But Anne, I
want to go away with you, but not now. Go. Go now.
And these noises you heard from your husband's room were after you had dismissed de Lanrivain and closed the castle door?
Yes, your lordship.
What did you do next?
I started up the stairs and I listened.
What did you hear?
I heard dogs snarling and panting.
What dogs?
Huh?
What dogs?
I don't know.
And how long did you remain listening on the stairs?
Just a few minutes. And then when I reached the room, it was dark. And I found my husband's flint and steel, and I struck a spark for the candle. And then I saw him lying there, dead.
And the dogs?
The dogs were gone.
Gone? Where to?
I don't know. There was no way for them to get out. And we had no dogs at Castle Carrefour.
You would have us believe, madame, that your husband was killed by a pack of invisible dogs?
No, if it please your lordship, the bites which caused the death of Baron de Cournot were clearly visible at the inquest.
Well, madame, can you give the court any idea where the supposed dogs came from?
My dead dogs.
mine. The dogs he killed so cruelly for no reason. My dead dogs!
A 20th century sun was brightening every corner of my room when I'd finished and put down the history of the trial of Anne de Cournot. And I sat there thinking I was emotionally drained when Henri de Lanrivain knocked at my door. Yes, come in.
Ah, you look beautiful. But you seem terribly worried, my lovely Paula.
Henri, you can forget about my buying Castle Tefal. I would not want to live there now if someone gave it to me.
Oh, but Sherry, what you read happened 400 years ago. People were different.
Henri, you forget. I saw those dogs today. I knew nothing of all this, and yet I saw those dogs today. Do you think I could even consider living there, knowing what happened to that poor girl, Anne de Cournot?
Well, as a matter of fact, Paula, you realize she got off quite easily for a woman accused of murder in those days.
Easily? She was paroled to the de Cournot family. She spent the rest of her life shut up in Castle Kefal.
This has really gotten under your skin.
Do you know, Henri, I think I have been fooling myself about wanting to settle down. I really hadn't told Henri the truth. I'd told him only half the truth. I saw the dogs at Castle Kefal. I couldn't understand why I should have seen them, unless it was a warning to me. At least I took it to be so. And thus for me, Castle Kefal will remain a haunting, a disturbing, and an unresolved memory.
I was impressed with this story of Castle Kefal and the dogs and told it to a psychiatrist friend of mine. When I finished, he smiled the smile of a man with all the answers and said, "It's amazing to what lengths a woman will go to avoid facing up to the fact that she's really afraid of marriage." He believed that. Do you? I'll be back shortly.
If 2 bits equal 1/4, how much are 12 bits worth? Well, at your True Value Hardware store, they're worth $3.97. Hi, Pat Summerall here to explain. The 12 bits are part of a Century 13-piece drill bit set that you can get right now at your True Value Hardware store. It's a perfect gift to yourself, particularly if you've got a power drill for Christmas. These 12 high-speed bits will drill holes from 1/16th of an inch to 1/4 of an inch in wood, metal, and other materials. And this set gives you something a lot of drill bit sets don't include. A center punch, the accurate way to start any hole. That's 13 pieces in all. They come in a folding case. Each bit fits in a slot marked with its size, so you never have to guess which bit is the size you want. 2 bits may equal 1/4. But at your True Value Hardware store, 12 bits are worth $3.97. Get the Century 13-piece drill bit set at your participating True Value Hardware store. Just remember, look under Hardware in the Yellow Pages.
Before I return tomorrow, I think I should tell you the world's shortest horror story. I hope you haven't heard it. It goes like this. After the atomic holocaust, there's only one man left in the world. He knows that everyone else has been killed. As he sits alone in his bomb shelter, suddenly there comes a knock at the door. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, William Redfield, Ian Martin, and Guy Sorrell. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Come with me, Hank. Come with me.
Don't worry, Susanna. I won't let you out of my sight. You see? There's no one here.
But there was. There still is. Only, what happened to the music box?
It ran down.
Wind it up.
No. I should never have fixed it so that it would play.
It doesn't matter. She would have reached me anyway. Wait.
Was she just talking to you? The ghost?
Talking to Gina.
Yes. It was Rachel.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and True Value Hardware Stores. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre.
True Value Hardware Stores?
Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Macabre!
Typical male psychiatrist. Women afraid of marriage. Huh, I take a page from Zsa Zsa Gabor, who was married 9 times. Count them, 9 times.
Yep.
And she said she was she was a wonderful housekeeper. Every time she left a man, she kept the house.
Yeah, yeah.
She was. Yep. And each one she married was richer than the one before, I think. Something like that, yeah.
Mod cookie.
Just about.
Jackie O.
Darling.
Her and Jackie O.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her and, and Elizabeth, too. I think Elizabeth Taylor worked out well.
Fogsbane liked your joke in the chat.
thank you. That was my Zsa-Zsa.
Yes.
That cop slapping Zsa-Zsa.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, long before Will Smith, she slapped someone right. gave him one right in the chops.
Well, we lost Gar as he's making his final preparations for Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul.
Blah, blah.
That'll be right after we're done here in about 12 minutes and 8 seconds.
Unbelievable. Yep.
Give or take.
Yep.
And do we have a moral or no? We do?
Well, we can go with one that sits. It's a little bit
there.
Of a moral. A little bit of a moral here.
Yeah. Eatery House Radio proudly presents a garless moral of the story.
It's apologies to Gar. If you're real estate hunting and you find a ghost dog, make sure you have your ghost kibbles and bits with you. That's all.
Better than
and
Alpo.
The reason.
And
the reason. The reason that's all I got, Bill, is because I'm so tired from... I went on assignment for Erie House Radio earlier this week. Went over to England. Went over to a castle. And, let me share with you what happened here. Ooh. This is Dave Binkley reporting for Erie House Radio. Today, I find myself in front of King Arthur's castle. I think something's happening. It looks like the drawbridge is lowering. And a knight in a dark suit of armor is approaching. Pardon me, sir. Are you the Black Knight?
I am, I cried.
Guarded this castle for many centuries. How has this changed you? You seem like such a nice guy. why do you have the reputation for being so bad? Perhaps you could give us some insight into King Arthur's court. What can you tell us about King Arthur?
Leader of the pack.
And what can you tell us about Sir Lancelot? What did you used to say to the fair young maiden Guinevere?
You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
Oh, my.
Did you ever attend the Crusades?
Like who I've always been, I was there.
And just what was happening there?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Why did you feel that you had to be there?
Nobody does it better. Though sometimes I wish someone could.
Now, you're still here guarding King Arthur's castle.
Alone again, naturally.
Where did everyone go?
They'll hurt you. Yes, then.
Well, if everyone is gone, then why are you still here?
There never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you die.
Is there anything else that you would like to accomplish?
Well, I'm sure that I could be a movie star if I could get out of this place.
Well, I want to thank you for your time.
Please don't.
Why don't you want me to leave?
If you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me.
I really do have to go. The Black Knight is now turning around. And heading back into the castle he has defended for so many centuries. And as the drawbridge rises... I send you back to Eerie House Radio.
Dave, you sucked me in there with that one. At the beginning, I didn't see it coming. Everybody loves it in the chat.
Bravo. Bravo.
Bravo.
Well done.
Bravo.
Well done. Bravo.
Bravo.
Okay. Indeed.
Bravo.
Yeah. Okay.
Encore.
Don't have one for an encore, sorry.
I might have a little something here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No wonder you're exhausted from that voyage.
I'm just not sure which way to go.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I can spring for that wooden nickel if you need to.
No.
Right, he's got something planned here.
Definitely not Kinko the Clown. Definitely not Kinko the Clown.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Oh, no, I can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. No, no, no. Naughty words.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, keep it PG.
No, this will be
PG-ish.
PG-ish, or you know,
it
not
may
GT.
Not make it may not make sense.
GT, group therapy.
GT,
yes,
group therapy. Oh yeah, well done.
What do you got there? You got something there, Dale?
I might have a little something for the folks listening at home.
Okay.
From far beyond the galaxies, I've journeyed to this place to study the behavior patterns of the human race. And I find them highly illogical.
Oh, yeah.
Girl meets boy. They fall in love. She says he's everything she's dreamed of. But when they get married, before he's aware, she changes his habits, the way he combs his hair. She changes him to someone he's never been, and then complains he's not like other men. Now really, I find this most illogical. Take the case of your automobiles. Greatest invention since man discovered wheels. Hydromatic overdrive, floor on the floor. Push-button windows, push-button doors. Double-barrel carburetors rush you any place, but you never can find a parking space. Highly illogical. Take the case of modern man. He works all his life, gives it all he can, saves all his money, works overtime, pinches every penny, banks every dime. All he can think about is money, but you know that he can't take it with him where he's going to go. Now I find that fascinatingly illogical. Now is the time to journey home, to tell of what I've learned. My people, I believe, have every right to be concerned. For in spite of computers and advanced psychology, behavior patterns are still a mystery. I predict the future of this earthly human race is that having made a mess of Earth, they'll move to outer space. Well, there goes the neighborhood. Totally, completely, absolutely, irrevocably, highly illogical.
From the man who
so
sang
what's happening?
Bilbo Baggins.
There you go.
Oh,
and
my
so
gosh.
What's happening on Erie House Radio next week, Dale?
I don't remember. I cannot recall for the life of me.
Oh.
I don't know. We keep forgetting. That's what. It's all about forgetfulness. The Green Hornet. Theater 5 and Let George Do It on Friday, and then CBS Radio Mystery Theater returns next. Nope, wait. Sorry. I skipped a week. Nope, we're climbing a
you
mountain
did.
Next week. I guess I do keep forgetting. That's 2 weeks from now I just gave you. Okay? We're doing mountains. We're climbing the mountain. I just remembered. So actually, on Friday, it'll be Suspense, Quiet Please, and The Goon Show. Yes, I said The Goon Show. But we do have to on Saturday.
Yep. Climb every mountain. Ford every stream. Finally sneaking in a Goon Show.
Yeah.
So much of British humor. The Pythons and The Beatles, early stuff, all based on the zaniness of The Goon Show.
Yeah, and we're going to get some of that next week. I can't wait, Dave, because I have never heard The Goon Show before. This is a
Neither
Erie House Radio first.
Ooh.
Yep, yep.
A foist. A premiere.
Foist. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
we're
yeah.
foisting it upon you, yes.
Yeah,
and Monday, Weirdest Really Bad Movie on the Vortex, horrorhost.net. There you go.
What time is that? 9 Eastern?
9 p.m. Eastern time. 8 p.m.
Okay.
Central.
Gonna try to slug some coffee there. see you next week. Oh, sorry.
Castle
Thanks, everybody in the chat room.
Growing dim.
Thank you, Bob.
No
Hi, Bob.
Podcast.
But me.
Thanks, good old Bob.
And
good old Bob.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it. I can dig it.
Keep getting hit by that door.
Yeah.
Sounds like Joe got hit, too.
Yeah, Joe says hello.
Oh.
Joey says hi.
meow, 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 meow.
Yeah.
Don't tell Dale, Joe. Don't tell him what I said.
He won't either. He's just walked away.
Don't you hate it when you don't speak the language? I'll tell you.
Tell you what, though, there's nothing like listening to a good ghost story with a black cat.
Oh, on a stormy night. Oh, if you only had a stormy night.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a dark and stormy night. And the
dark and always, stormy night.
Always dark and stormy over at Erie House.
That's true.
Kind of like
that. Yeah,
absolutely.
No, no. Well, I was thinking more like that cartoon character, Joe, blah, 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 whatever the heck his name is, Alphabet, from Andy Capp that always had the storm cloud over his head.
Oh, okay.
Or,
oh, yeah.
No, not Andy Capp, from the Hillbilly one. What's that cartoon?
Lil Abner.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from
Lil Abner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever his name
is. Lil Abner and Mammy and Tapioca.
Daisy May,
and don't forget that character that Julie Marr made, Stupefying Jones.
Yep. Stupefying. Yes, sir. You missed out on our conversation yesterday, CW. Have you ever been to any castles?
Unfortunately, I have not been to a castle. I think the closest I'll probably ever get, unless I can really pinch my pennies, is make a way to go to Las Vegas to go to one of their casinos that's built like a castle.
There you go.
Yeah, no, that's
I like
a way
that
to
plan.
Go, yeah.
That's a good plan. We have some in Southern Ohio, Dave.
I know there's one that the guy approached me. He has a castle with a bunch of like sliding doors and stuff. Once he approached me at Goulardi Fest to come down there and film at his place, and just never got around to it. It's down in Southern Ohio. Southern Ohio.
Should.
They go down there.
You
I know
that'd
I should have.
Cool.
Yep. I saw our pal Arachna is hosting. I think she's hosting a. Brain from Planet Eris? Ooh, I wonder how she pulled that off. That's a fun movie. John Agar. And the Good Brain
nice.
And the Bad Brain. And there's a nice dog in that one.
Yep. Yeah.
German Shepherd.
Yeah, I know there were a lot of people who had, I suppose they're not technically castles, but outrageously enormous houses in Ohio because they were essentially robber barons. They robbed everybody. Sounds like today. Yeah.
Yep.
So we call them oligarchs and billionaires. Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk.
Musk.
Yeah. They have these outrageously gargantuan houses, you know. I mean, you have to mow down half a forest just to heat a couple of rooms.
Yeah, some of these ones I've seen pictures of in Europe are just amazing. It just the upkeep, man. We talked about that earlier. The upkeep must be incredible. It's not
it
just
is.
The castle;
yeah.
It's the grounds too. Some of them have these fabulous gardens and things. It just
that's
why you have to resort to tourism and to tours and to make them into like a B&B, things like that, in order to bring in money to help support the
sure. I mean, like in this country, the property taxes alone would kill you.
Oh, no kidding. Ouch. I don't know if there's a way to ride that out, you know, become a business and conglomerate and do what they do, don't pay any taxes.
Yeah, or have it named a national monument or something or historical landmark. That's it, a historical landmark.
Like a UNESCO site. Yes, make your house my house is a UNESCO site. Therefore, I have no need to pay taxes. But watch out for the trailer. It is parked out by my rusting car.
As long as that rusting car is a hearse, now we're talking. I can deal with
it. All right.
I really, really want a hearse.
I think that would be great.
I just want to ride in the front, though.
Yeah. Get a
not in a hurry for the ride in the back.
That can be
arranged. Did the Adams family have? Yeah. Did the Adams family have a variety of car? The original Adams family. I know the Munsters had the Munster Mobile, and of course the Dracula Mobile as well. But
I remember
Adams
an episode where maybe it was Gomez was learning how to drive, or something, and it was just an old beat up car, like an old 20s car, that didn't look like their regular vehicle that you would see Lurch escorting them about in. But yeah, the Munsters had a couple vehicles, didn't they? They had the coach and they had that one, the coffin car that Grandpa used to race in.
The Dracmobile, yeah.
The Dragula.
Exactly, the Dracmobile.
Dragula. Yep. Yeah. Both created by Barrett. A wonderful car designer from the 60s.
He designed a lot of those. Were that the same people who made the Batmobile? Or the...
Yeah, I believe so.
From...
George Barrett.
Barrett. See, there was the... Well, he did... He must have done... He did Batmobile, then Catwoman's kitty car, and the Jokermobile. Was there... Mm-hmm. I think there may have been a Penguinmobile, too. Did the Penguinmobile...
I don't know.
Was
that on the TV show?
I think so. I definitely Joker had a vehicle. I know Catwoman had one.
I remember the Penguin Mobile.
And, of course, Batgirl Cycle. The Batgirl Cycle. With fringe on the back. Oh, my God. That was just a little too much. Fringe on the back.
It was still a cool. It was still a cool ride.
I know, but come on, just you know, it's really
pretty crazy stuff.
I wonder if he did the Black Beauty for the Green Hornet.
Yes, he did. I believe he did. That is a cool looking car too.
That I would not mind riding up and down the street with.
Yeah.
The Black Beauty.
Yeah. If I had a Cato with me, I would love to do it.
Yep.
Oh, don't mind me.
Hey,
just watch out for Cato.
I'm driving that bad boy.
Yeah.
But then again, I'd be happy with the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Me too.
You know, every year they have you can apply to you live for a year basically in the Wienermobile. All you can eat, and you drive around the country promoting Oscar Mayer Wieners. Yep. Now, if you're young, that would be a fun job. That would be a fun job for a year.
Yes, it would be. For a year? Because that's all they let you do it is 1 year.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if you saved your money, pinched your pennies, and, you know, just you say, okay, I can have enough to leave the real world behind and go around in the Wienermobile. From coast to coast.
Yep.
Did
you have
it all?
Or did either of you have any of the Hot Wheels cars from like the 60s?
I had some Hot Wheels cars, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the one. There was one with a bubble. I think George Barrett may have designed that too. I know someone made a life-size version of it, like a concept car or whatever.
Really?
But, yeah.
Wow. It is funny to go online and see what they consider it. To be the concept cars of the future.
Yeah.
They all had lots of little interesting gizmo inside. I just, you know, why couldn't anyone think of making a car that got 100 miles on 1 gallon of gas? I mean, I realized gas was only, what, 12 cents a gallon, but still, you know.
Because if you created something like that, the car that would run like 100 miles on a drop of water, they'd execute you. You would disappear really fast.
I'm still waiting for them to release Grandpa Munster's gasoline pills.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's right. He had a pill for everything, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you probably would be disappeared just like on the episode of The X-Files or episode of The Lone Gunman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was The Lone Gunman. They found a car that actually ran on tap water.
Yep.
Yeah, the oil company would love you for that. Yeah, you definitely have to.
You're disappearing now.
Yeah.
It's over for you.
The safest way to do that, if you ever do it, you probably won't make a nickel on it, but if you want to really give it to the, stick it to the man, as it were, print the program online and blast it out on the internet.
There you go. I like it.
So any of you geniuses out there who happen to have a way to take a tap water and we can just pour it in the gas tank and tell the petroleum companies where they can pour their stuff, they can eat it.
Yep. Well, never happened because you can't tax water, can you? At least not.
Yeah. Well, they can try to say, well, you're going to stop it. Well, just wait outside until it rains and collect a couple of barrels worth of fuel.
That's it. Here you go. There's always a way.
They'll probably have a container tax.
Could be. Could well be.
Well,
oh, God. Did you see what Mike Mace posted?
What Mike Mace did? What?
Mike Mace posted a great picture. It's a hot air balloon in the shape of a stein of beer. He goes, oh, no, here comes the German spy balloon. Big stein with beer flowing over, you know, foaming over. It's hilarious. That's a good one, Mike Mace.
Oh, great. Who else is going to fly a balloon over the country? First, China. Now, the Germans, see, what are the British? What would they, what their balloon would be in the shape of? I don't know, Benny Hill?
Maybe.
No, spam. The account, spam. Spam, 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 spam.
Spam, wonderful spam.
And then the Canadians will send a hockey puck floating over. Yeah, so if you see a hockey puck floating over Ohio, blame the Canadians, eh?
Yep. Blame Canada. Blame Canada. Sorry, that's a South Park reference.
Oh, yeah. Gentlemen, with that, I must be away. So if I may do my last duty of the evening, I will
walk down the
hallway and tap upon the door and say, Mr. Durante, we're waiting.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Time to say
good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night?
Oh, I love that.
Will be removed.
You laugh. And it's time for toodaloo.
Buenas noches.
Bye.
And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.